All right, so welcome everyone to another deep dive. And today we're going to be tackling, a pretty significant case, especially if you're, interested in corporate law.
Yeah, this is a big one for sure.
We're looking at Berger v. Pubco Corporation. This case came out of the Delaware Supreme Court back in 2009. And it really kind of, I guess you could say, clarified or really establish some important points about what happens when you've got minority shareholders, in these mergers where they don't get to vote. What kind of protections are there?
Right. We're talking about really the power dynamics in these situations.
Yeah.
When a company, is going to go private through a short form merger, what are the guardrails in place?
Right. And specifically what happens, when the information that the minority shareholders need isn't necessarily disclosed to them.
Yeah. What are those key disclosures that need to be made, and what happens when they aren't made?
Absolutely. So before we dive into the specifics of Berger v. Pubco, maybe let's take a step back and just kind of make sure we're all on the same page about what a short form merger is.
Yeah. So a short form merger, and a lot of our listeners are law students. They may be in their first year of corporations class right now, and maybe this is a new concept. But essentially, under Delaware general corporation law, particularly Section 253, if you have a parent company that owns at least 90% of the stock of a subsidiary, that parent company can actually go ahead and merge the two companies without needing a full shareholder vote.
So essentially, they can sort of kind of force this merger through.
Right, because the idea is that if they already own 90%, a minority vote really wouldn't change anything anyway.
Right. They've already got, that controlling stake.
Exactly. So it streamlines the process. But, obviously this creates a situation where, there's potential for the minority shareholders to be kind of left out in the cold.
Yeah. And that's where, I guess, the concept of appraisal rights comes in.
Exactly.
So can you talk a little bit about what appraisal rights are and how they protect minority shareholders?
Yeah. So appraisal rights are essentially a legal right that minority shareholders have, in these situations where they don't get to vote on a merger. And if they disagree with the price that's being offered for their shares, in the merger, they can petition the court for a determination of the fair value of those shares.
So it's basically a way for them to say, hey, we don't think that this price is actually reflective of what our shares are worth. We want the court to step in and make a determination.
Exactly. It's a way to, ensure that they're getting, a fair shake, I guess you could say.
Right. So it's kind of a safety valve.
Mm. Yeah, safeguard against potential abuse by the majority.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's jump into the Berger v. Pubco case specifically. So what was the situation, with this case? What were the facts that kind of led up to it?
All right. So in this case, we had a man named Robert H. Canner, and he owned over 90% of the shares in Pubco Corporation. This was back in 2007. And, he decided that he wanted to take the company private, using this short form merger process that we were just talking about. And so the minority shareholders, which, Barbara Berger was one of them, they were all offered $20 per share for their stock in the company.
Okay. And $20 a share. Was that seen as fair? Like what was the problem there?
Well, the problem wasn't necessarily just the $20 per share itself. The problem was that the minority shareholders, weren't given a lot of information about how that price was determined. They didn't get a really detailed explanation of, what valuation methods were used, what data was relied upon.
So they basically just got this offer of $20 and they're like, well, I guess that's what it's worth.
Right. I mean, they got some information, but it wasn't really enough to make an informed decision about whether to challenge that price or not.
Right. And wouldn't you need that information to really, how can you decide to exercise your appraisal rights if you don't know how they got to that price?
Exactly. And, and to make matters worse, the notice that the shareholders got about the merger, it actually included an outdated version of Delaware's appraisal statute. So, the very law that outlined, their rights and the process for seeking appraisal, they were given the wrong information.
So they're kind of set up to fail in a way.
Well, I mean, it's certainly not ideal. Let's put it that way.
Right. So, not surprisingly, Barbara Berger and the other minority shareholders, they weren't too happy about this. So they decided to file a class action lawsuit.
Exactly.
So what was the basis of their lawsuit? What were they arguing?
They were arguing that, you know, they deserved to get the fair value of their shares. And they believed that that fair value was significantly higher than the $20 that they had been offered.
Right. Okay. So the central question then becomes, okay, so if a company doesn't give the minority shareholders this information, you know, that they need to decide whether to seek appraisal, what should the court do? What's the proper remedy?
Right, right. How do you fix this? Yeah. You know, what's the legal solution here?
Right. So this case actually went before the Delaware Court of Chancery first.
It did. Yeah.
And what was their ruling?
So the Court of Chancery, you know, they found that Popco, you know, the company, they had violated their disclosure obligations. They said, you know, you shouldn't have left out this information about how you got to that price. You shouldn't have given them the wrong appraisal statute. So they agreed that there had been, you know, these violations. But the remedy that they came up with was kind of, I guess you could say, controversial. They said that the shareholders, if they wanted to pursue this quasi appraisal remedy, essentially a chance to have the court determine the fair value because of these disclosure failures, they had to actually opt into the lawsuit.
So they had to take an extra step to be part of this.
Right. They had to affirmatively say, yes, I want to be part of this lawsuit. And on top of that, they had to actually escrow a portion of the merger proceeds. So they had to take some of that $20 a share they got and put it into an account while the litigation was going down.
So they're already getting a price they think is too low. Mm-hmm. And now they're being told, okay, well, if you want to fight this, you've got to jump through these hoops. You've got to opt in. You've got to escrow your money.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a an easy remedy to pursue.
Right, right. So unsurprisingly, this is not where the story ends.
No.
Berger appealed this to the Delaware Supreme Court.
They did.
So what happened at the Supreme Court level?
So the Delaware Supreme Court actually reversed the Chancery Court's decision, you know, on the remedy. And this is really where the quasi-appraisal remedy, as we know it today, you know, kind of solidified. And the Supreme Court, they laid out a new framework, you know, with some key features designed to really better protect minority shareholders in these situations.
Okay, so let's dig into that. What were these key features of the quasi-appraisal remedy that the Supreme Court laid out?
All right. So first of all, they said that, you know, when a company fails to provide this essential information, you know, like the price methodology, in a short form merger, the minority shareholders are entitled to get that information later.
Okay.
They're entitled to these supplemental disclosures.
So even though the merger's already done, they still have a right to get that information.
Exactly. They still have a right to know how that price was arrived at.
Okay.
Secondly, and this is a really important point, especially for, you know, law students who are, you know, thinking about litigation, thinking about corporate law, shareholders can actually pursue this quasi-appraisal remedy without having to prove that the company breached its fiduciary duty.
Okay.
So that can be a lower bar, you know, than in some other types of shareholder litigation.
So it makes it a little easier for them to actually bring these claims.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the next two points are really where, you know, the Supreme Court kind of, you know, departed from what the Chancery Court had done. They said that the class action, you know, for this type of remedy, it should be structured as opt-out.
Okay.
So what that means is all the affected minority shareholders, they're automatically included in the class unless they specifically say, I don't want to be part of this.
So instead of having to opt in, they're automatically in.
They're automatically in unless they opt out.
Okay.
And, you know, that, think about the impact of that. You know, you've got a lot of investors, especially, you know, individual investors who, you know, maybe they're not, you know, super sophisticated. They don't know, you know, that they even have a right to sue or how to go about it. But if they're automatically included, you know, they're protected, you know, even if they're not, you know, actively taking steps to join the litigation.
Right. So that's a big shift in terms of who has to take the action.
Exactly. And then the final key piece here is that the Supreme Court said, you know what? You don't have to escrow the merger proceeds.
Okay.
So, you know, the shareholders, they get to keep that $20 a share, you know, while they're fighting to get what they believe is the fair value.
That seems a lot more fair.
Right. It makes it a lot less risky for the shareholders to pursue these claims.
Right. Right. Okay. So So those are the key features of the quasi-appraisal remedy as laid out by the Delaware Supreme Court.
So why did they feel this was necessary? Like, what was their reasoning?
Well, the court, they really emphasized fairness. You know, they said, look, corporations, you know, they have to be held to the same standards as the shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a shareholder misses a deadline, they could lose their appraisal rights. Well, the court said it's only fair that a corporation should also face consequences if they don't provide the information that the shareholders need to even make a decision about whether to seek appraisal in the first place.
So it's about creating a level playing field. Exactly, exactly. They also talked about, you know, the practical realities for shareholders, you know, the opt-out structure. It's easier. It prevents shareholders from, you know, accidentally losing their rights, you know, just because they're not familiar with all the ins and outs of class action litigation.
Right. And that makes sense. I mean, the average person's not going to be, you know, up on all of the legal procedures.
Right, right. And then with the escrow requirement, you know, they said, look, you know, in other types of shareholder litigation, particularly in breach of fiduciary duty cases, the shareholders don't have to give back the money that they got while they're pursuing their claims.
Right.
So why should it be different in these quasi-appraisal cases?
Right. So it's really about making the remedy more accessible to the shareholders.
Exactly. And they also really stressed the importance of the information that was withheld. You know, they said the information about how the merger price is determined, that's material information. You know, that's something that a shareholder needs to know to decide whether to pursue appraisal. It's not up to the corporation to decide what information is important.
Right.
It's about what the shareholder needs to make an informed decision.
So even if the company thinks their price is fair, the shareholders still have a right to know how they got to that number.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a really great quote from the case that I think kind of sums this up.
Okay.
The court said, fairness requires that the corporation be held to the same strict standard of compliance with the appraisal statute as the minority shareholders.
Yeah. I mean, that really gets to the heart of it. So for our listeners who are, you know, law students, maybe starting out in their careers, what are some of the key takeaways from this case?
Well, first of all, you know, this case really strengthened the position of minority shareholders in these short form mergers. It's a clear message that, you know, you can't just, you know, as a controlling shareholder, you can't just kind of steamroll the minority.
Right.
You have to be transparent. You have to give them the information they need.
So transparency is really important in these transactions.
It's crucial. Yeah. And, you know, the case also highlighted the importance of disclosure. You know, you have to disclose all the material information. And that includes, you know, especially that methodology for how you came up with the merger price.
Right, right. And then, of course, there's the quasi-appraisal remedy itself, which, you know, it's now a much more viable option for shareholders who feel like they're being, you know, unfairly treated.
Exactly. You know, they don't have to jump through as many hoops. You know, they don't have to opt in. They don't have to escrow their money. So it really does give them, you know, a better chance to challenge these mergers.
Right. And I think it also shows, you know, the willingness of the Delaware courts to really try to, you know, create equitable remedies in these kinds of corporate situations.
Absolutely. You know, they're not just stuck in, you know, the old ways of doing things. They're willing to adapt, you know, to really try to make sure that things are fair.
Yeah. So Berger B. Pubco, it's a case that, you know, really changed the landscape for minority shareholders.
It did. It created this important remedy, and it really, you know, I think leveled the playing field in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So here's a thought, you know, for our listeners to ponder as we wrap up. You know, we've been talking about this in the context of mergers, but, you know, how might these principles that we've been discussing, you know, this idea of materiality of information, this idea of, you know, the courts being willing to create remedies to protect minority stakeholders, how might that apply in other areas, you know, not just in mergers?
Right, right. I mean, think about, you know, other types of corporate actions where, you know, you might have minority shareholders who are being squeezed out or who are, you know, not being treated fairly.
Or even beyond corporate law.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, these are principles that I think could have broader application.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's something to think about. So as always, we encourage all of our listeners to continue to explore, you know, the intricacies of corporate law and shareholder rights. It's a fascinating area.
It is. There's always something new to learn.
Absolutely. So thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Berger v. Pubco. And until next time.